Welcome back to the Press Box on a beautiful, beautiful, I don't even know what day it is, Wednesday, I think, in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. But we're going to be journeying up to Shelbyville, Indiana today. My great friend Gabe Pruitt is joining the show. Gabe, welcome back. And, man, you're a busy dude.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gene. I'm looking forward to a great day today, though, because even though I'm in the Commonwealth here this morning, I will be shuttling quickly up to Indiana Grand this afternoon and following that up with a trip to Hoosier Park tonight.
Man, they can't keep a good man down, brother. I'm telling you, you're at Pompano in the winter, you're at Red Mile in the summer, and all parts in between.
It's a busy schedule, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
I understand.
We're in the business that we love, so it's nice to be busy in this business, and I'm fortunate in that regard.
But tell me a little bit before we get started about this Corbin at Red Mile meet you've been calling up in Lexington, a new racetrack being constructed down in southeast Kentucky, another venue for the Standard Brands in Kentucky, and it looks like it's going to be a fantastic facility.
Yeah, it really does. It's an exciting time for the standard bred industry of the state, Gene. As you well know, obviously the Red Mile, that program just continues to grow and grow, and then you get Oak Grove down in the western part of the state, which is a very nice brand-new facility, and then I anticipate the same from Corbin. So it's great to have three facilities there and three real facilities that are really making a major impact to the sport here, and I think the breeding industry is really growing in the state. So it's an exciting time to be in the standardbred industry in Kentucky, no question.
Well, let's go to Shelbyville, Indiana, and one of my favorite racetracks in the entire world. I know you were there for the Indiana Derby. Have you ever had more fun at a racetrack than you do at Indiana Grand?
No, it's a great time, and I recommend anyone to get out and check out Indiana Grand. What a great staff there with Eric and Rachel and just the entire crew, Gene. And it's just a great place to watch a race. It's really just a true players-friendly place. The Indiana Derby Day was phenomenal, as you know. So many dignitaries from the Twitter that you and I both know, Gene. It was just great to run into so many people and to get to chat and watch a phenomenal day of racing. So anytime I can get a chance to get up to Indiana Grand, I go ahead and take it. I know you do as well.
Yeah, you know, when you're got every seat in the house packed, everybody on the apron is cheering, and they can play Sweet Caroline, and the entire crowd is singing along, and that's my kind of racetrack now, brother. I'm telling you, that was a lot of fun.
I agree 100%. Food was great up at the clubhouse, and I was like you. I got to make it into the apron, which was absolutely packed. Plenty going on there. They just do a tremendous job. So, yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite tracks, well, I couldn't agree more.
I think they were singing in salute to Gabe Pruitt.
I'm not so sure. I saw you down there leading that.
Let's talk about today, Wednesday, July 21st. Got two stakes, and that Wednesday program has really gotten a following up at Indiana Grand. The first in the fifth race, Descend It in Army Stakes, $65,000 for three-year-olds and up, going the sprint distance of six furlongs. Gabe, really an outstanding field, I think, led by the horse coming up to Indiana Grand today from probably stabled there in Kentucky somewhere since Churchill's closed. But long weekend, I mean, this horse has shown a lot of quality in his past. And four wins, one second, and eight career starts. I know he's only made one start this year. Long weekend, heading the field of six in the Spurs Stakes, Send It in Army Stakes.
Yeah, $65,000 added for that first stake. Gene, just a field of six, it looks to me, and I'm sure like everyone else, that really the four horses are going to take the majority of the action in here. Competitive, particularly, I think, between those top four contenders. But I agree, long weekend, certainly one of those logical contenders there. I love that the win resume, as you have mentioned, the 4 of 8. At his career with already over a couple $100,000. I thought the six Mojo Man, was the horse that I was going to press a little bit in there in terms of the multi-race exotics. You know, I like the fact that he was beaten by, Bango, a couple of those starts back there, who came back to win a stake this past weekend at Ellis. Three back there, CZ Rock and Whitmore, two of the best sprinters around. He was just beaten four lengths by. So, I'm going to go to the outside post there, You know, he's an eight-time winner, 28 tries. So it's just a good field. You know, I think you could make a case for several of these here in this first stake of the day.
Absolutely. I like your thinking there as well. This horse is probably coming into the race a little I guess, on the muscle, so to speak, Gabe, with the reference to the race two back against Bango. Bango's as good a sprinter in the Midwest right now. He went in that race down at Ellis this past weekend, but also the Kelly's Landing before that. And CZ Rocket's probably as good a sprinter as you mentioned to him in Whitmore back at Oaklawn Park. That was a great three, the Count Fleet Stakes. I like your thinking there. This horse, you know, he showed some speed back in January, but looks like he's been kind of coming from off the pace a little bit in his last two starts.
Yeah, you know, it really does. And that I love the fact, you know, with the rally there at Churchill, two starts back in the race there to Bango. Looks like it did not have the best of starts, but really overcame that and rallied and made up plenty of ground late. So I think in a shorter field today, that plays into his hands a little bit as well.
You know, let's mention a horse here, the three-horse I'm Curfew, or Corfew. I don't know the exact pronunciation there, Gabe. You're the racetrack announcer. But, you know, this horse looks like the speed of the race coming in, you know, had three wins in a row going into the race at Churchill on June the 4th. Ran second, got beat ahead that day by Ruvis, who is really a Churchill predominant horse trained there for the Rigney family. But, you know, this horse not so long ago was in kind of the lower claiming ranks up there at Hawthorne. This thing has gotten really good and obviously has a ton of speed.
Yeah, and really a sharp horse. You love to see a horse come against so razor sharp. I love the early speed, as you said. It's a little bit of a test for class, obviously, this afternoon, Gene. About a live barn, Brittany Vandenberg, the trainer there, so we're all familiar with, you know, that barn. And the proficiency that she has shown. So, you know, this horse is definitely going to be out there winging. He'll be the one to catch, you know, like I said, big test for class. So this is a pretty deep water, I think, compared to what he's been in against of late.
Yep. You mentioned Brittany Vandenberg's proficiency record, 39% winners in the 77 starts this year. That's getting the job done. I don't care where you are or who you're running up against.
Yeah, that's. I don't believe you can do much better than that.
Yep. The last horse we'll touch, Home Base, two horse for Ciferino Contreras. Having a solid meet, but this horse 1-for-1 at Indiana Grand, coming in off the Kelly's Landing where he was fifth to Bango. I thought that horse ran a pretty decent race in against very tough company. But look at the race, two back, a winner at Churchill, going 7 furlongs. Can't throw this horse out either.
No, I agree. And the two things that did catch my eye on Home Base, you just mentioned, he has a win over the track. He's the only starter in this field, you know, that's 1-for-1 at least over the course there at Indiana Grand. And also their last race to Bango, again, who we just mentioned, it comes off another win this past weekend at Ellis. So, you know, he's been keeping good company. He's shown to get it done over the track. So another one of those main contenders there this afternoon.
Yep. I'm going to close with my selection. Long weekend, getting blinkers for the first time. Top Barn and Tom Amos. But look at those recent works. July the 14th at Keeneland, went 5 furlongs and 59 and change. Looks like he might be back on his game. This is a horse that won 4 of the first 5. I'm going to think he might be back on his game. Jose Batista, who has won with 29% of the last 7 for this barn, and Tom Amos, my pick. Your pick?
Mojo Man. I'm going to the outside post. So it's Mojo Man for me. We're it's side by side.
There you go. We'll put a breakfast on it. I know that you're an early riser. So we'll bet a breakfast either at one of our choices on who picks the winner of the fifth race, the stakes there at Indiana Grand. Let's move on, Gabe, to the seventh race, the Clarksville Stakes. This is for 65,000 fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, again at the sprint distance of 6 furlongs. Who do you like in the Clarksville Stakes?
Well, Gene, I've got bad news because I think I'm on a horse that's going to be a short price. I thought Brad Cox had this race surrounded. I liked both of the starters, in fact, for Jerome, of course, had his call there. He goes the 4 Monday call for the barn, who blew the break last time at a similar stake at Lone Star, Gene, $100,000 stake there, still rallying to come back as the runner-up even after the rough beginning. So I just was so impressed with that last start, and I thought that the Monday call in my mind, you know, really stood out here, but I'm not telling anyone anything they don't know. I mean, I think this horse is likely going to be an odds-on favorite here this afternoon.
Yeah, and I like your thinking. You know, ran over a good track there at Lone Star. I know they got a lot of rain there that weekend. Odds-on favorite in that race. The thing that I remember about this horse was her win in the Audubon Oaks last August down at Ellis. She won by over 7. You know, and that was her third win in a row. And I thought she was going to be one of those, you know, great fillies in the barn of Brad Cox, you know, maybe not as good as Monomoy Girl or She Dares the Devil or maybe those grade one, multiple grade one winners. But, you know, Brad Cox has a way, especially with fillies, and he's now duplicating that with his colts. But she kind of went off a little off form. She faced grade two, grade three, grade one company. But this race at Lone Star in May really kind of indicated she may be back on her game, getting Florent Giroux to travel up. I agree with you. Hard to argue with Gabe Pruitt on any case, but in particular with Monday call. I kind of like Brad's other horse in here, Lady Rocket, as well. You know, she's going to be moving up to the stakes company once again, but comes in off a win at Churchill. Going 7/8. You know, I thought a really nice race coming from off the pace after having shown a lot of speed in the previous race. A little bit of a Z pattern working there for Lady Rocket.
Yeah, and I thought she had some upside potential, you know, coming off that nice win there in a Lounge Company at Churchill. Maybe a little more room to improve. She's lightly raced, you know, just 7 career starts, 4 being this season. And we just continue to see her make that nice progression. That we'd like to see there. So, yeah, I thought this was a horse that was, you know, moving up. Is she ready to tackle Monday call this afternoon? You know, maybe not, but I still think that there's a lot of upside potential. She's going to continue to get better and better. She, you know, once you get past that big favorite, to me, she is definitely right there.
You know, speed can play pretty well at Indiana Grand from time to time. You know, you kind of get out there and you can kind of motor along on that front end. It does look like there is some other speed in the race, though. And, you know, Monday call may not have an easy go of it simply on the front end by herself. Does that open the door just a little bit maybe for Lady Rocket?
It could. You know, if the duel does set up there in the early stages, it certainly could. Because I am like you, this is a race, even though it's a shorter field, Gene, you know, it's loaded with early speed. So it'll be a little bit of a chess match here in the early stages. Just to see how taxing it is on Monday call.
You know, I think Euphoric on the far outside is a horse that I've been kind of watching. But, you know, she is going to show speed. I think she flashed a lot of speed in the grade 2 8 Bells there at Churchill on right before the Derby on Oaks Day. She came right back in the Ms. Perkins state, ran a really good one to Red Ghost, only beating the nose there. And has a trip over the track, a win at Indiana Grand last time out. Euphoric may be able to push that early button and maybe soften up those fractions a little bit for allow a closer to maybe to make a nice run. I think the distance, though, certainly does favor Monday call. She's 2 for 3 at the 2 seconds in 3 starts at the distance. It'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. I'll let you take first choice here in the Clarksville Stakes.
Well, Gene, I am going to come to the favorite, unfortunately, which is Monday call. So I will go in and snatch that favorite off the board if you're going to give me a first call here.
I have to give you first calls after I jumped in early on you in the previous one. I'll take Lady Rocket. We'll make it a Brad Cox exacta, and maybe we both get lucky and have a few winners today at Indiana Grand. One of the best, most best-kept secrets is certainly one of my most favorite tracks. I look forward to seeing you soon, my friend, and all the best in your travels.
Always great to catch up with you, Gene. My pleasure, and likewise. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Dave. Take care.
Thank you.